Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has so much to say. And having so much to say to us as people, we should give the most earnest heed to the heart of God when He's talking. And I say things like that so much, but I mean it every time. I want to share some things, because, you know, the things that we were talking about earlier this week. God loves His dear people, but the Holy Spirit will not force Himself upon you. Now, I've heard people say the Holy Spirit will make you do right. The Holy Spirit will make you do this. He never does that. He didn't come to make us do anything. The Holy Spirit, I know Him as a gentleman. He will help you. If you're sinning, or if you're doing something wrong, evil thoughts, strife, things like that, He'll convict you. He'll let you know that's not me. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself as the fear of the Lord, He's fully manifesting Himself as the fear of the Lord to you. And you feel convicted about what you just done, the things you said. And He helps you not do evil. He shows you, and your spirit man will respond if you have the love of God in you. Not if you don't have the love of God in you, then there's nothing for the fear of the Lord to attach to. A hard heart can't follow God, because a hard heart don't kill. He told. If you study how the Lord dealt with King Saul, Saul didn't repent. He fired him from being king. And he said, I'm going to raise up a neighbor that's better than you. And Saul did not repent. That didn't move Saul to repent. Saul tried to defy God by killing David. He tried to kill David because he said, this got to be the man that will replace me. And he said that in his heart. When people do things, God appealed to Solomon twice, and he didn't repent. Now, I love to think the best about people, so just take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. I believe that when Solomon wrote Proverbs, he was in covenant with God. When he wrote Ecclesiastes, it was about his life outside the covenant of God. And I hope I'm taking this the right way. See, in chapter 4 it says, so I returned. I hope that means that he returned to the Lord. Because he wrote, Ecclesiastes to me is evidence of a man looking back at his time in the Word out of covenant and out of fellowship with God. That's the only way all could be vanity, because the life of God has nothing to do with the world. So the life of God is better than every part of the world, and there's no vanity in God. So he had to be talking about his time when he was operating as a witch in defiance against God with his witchy wives and all whatever he did in that era of time, and then he wrote about it. So now that's something for you to take to the Lord in prayer. But that's what I believe happened, so I have to say it that way. Now, and I really believe that's exactly what happened. But you got to take it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord will give. If the Lord give me anything else about it, then I will. That's what I believe happened. So, and the thing is, when you fear the Lord, you immediately repent. When David feared the Lord, he immediately repented. When the prophet Nathan said, "This, you're the man that did this. You're the man that took the last sheep of the man, and you got plenty." David's heart, he smote. Ooh, he was so outdone with himself, and he threw himself on the mercy of God. He asked the Lord to forgive him. The fear of the Lord brought him back to balance, and he repented. And now, that don't, you know, you still got to be judged. your works will be judged. Sowing and reaping, the laws of sowing and reaping worked against David because of that. The kingdom was divided from his house in the days of Rehoboam because of this. So you have to pay, when you're anointed and you love God, you have to make sure that you walk in his love. Now, I don't know another way to fulfill the law except the love of God. Walking in love and in faith. Walking in faith without love won't do it. You got to walk in, to fulfill the law, you got to walk in love. You can be a man of faith. If you walk out of the confines of love, you're on dangerous ground. If you don't feel the love of God towards his people, no matter how they are, no matter what they do, no matter how, you got to love them just like Jesus loved you, or nothing will work right. When the love of God is out of place, many things will remain out of place. Now, what happened for me when Slim was testing me, I believe he was testing me, and I almost, that's the big fight I almost got in. I talk about it all the time. But it's so precious what I learned from that experience. It put me in a position to see the handiwork of God. God spoke a word and strengthened me. I wanted to do right, but I didn't have no more strength. And when the Lord spoke everlasting love, love a man, whether he does you good or evil, that's what I was wanting to do. The Lord strengthened me with those words. And from that moment on, I always relied on the Lord's strength. I began to rely on the Lord's strength. And it helped me not only in that area, but other areas. Also, I asked him to teach me how to love his people. So the love that I love people with, that's not just an attempt to love people. I'm using the revelation knowledge that God gave me. Now, this is also something that happened. And when I used to wonder, how did Kenneth Hagin remember all the details that happened many years ago, even from the time that he was a child? Now, I understand that those were big events, and I know that they were turning point moments in his life. But it used to puzzle me, how in the world does he remember that like it was just yesterday? Well, when you receive things by the love of God, and you receive it in your heart, and you continually practice on it, it's a part of you now. The revelation that you receive from the Lord is a part of you. It becomes part of who you are. When I say fill your heart with the Word of God, you're allowing the Word to be revelation to you. It's attached to you. It's in you. It's yours. It's in your heart. Doctrines of devil sometimes gets in people's heart too, and it interferes with the knowledge of God every time. But it can be driven out, and the easiest way to do that is to fill your heart with the Word. And I used to study the Word to live by, but a lot of the Word would slip until I started practicing the revelation of loving God's people. I was so motivated to love people that whatever word I was receiving, I could retain it better. And I found myself being able to remember details from long ago, even things that I forgot about as a child. See, the love of God wakes things up in you. Whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. The revelation of God opens your eyes to the truth of God. And when it's precious to you, you receive, and you retain, and you practice it. It becomes a way of life. Even the things that people, that others teach by the Holy Ghost. See, deep calls to deep. So when you hear other people speaking by the Holy Ghost and his revelation, you embrace it just like God told you. You don't care. You thank God for the person that was able to tell you this. You thank God, and you thank them for saying it. Because it really blessed your life. I like to let people know that, hey, you are blessing me today. I love that. I like it just as much as when God tell me something. And when God tell me something, when the Holy Ghost reveals something to me, I like to share it with people that I know will love his people. And unless the Lord, I started paying attention more, and I don't share everything unless God prompt me to. Some things can be out of season, and if I run it by the Lord anyway, to see what he's saying. If he approves, fine. And if I don't feel a check in my spirit, I proceed to tell him, or I wait on a better time to tell him. Because when you handle holy things, you're expected by the Lord to do right with it. And now I said all that to say this: as we keep God first, you're gonna have more to work with. Time is gonna happen anyway. Time is not gonna rush, and it's not gonna. It serves the covenant. Time is serving the covenant. When your heart is set to serve God and be a blessing to people, and you love people like God loves you, then time will honor you. When you set your heart to love God and serve Him, you're going to find yourself harnessing time much better. Your memory is going to work better. The revelation knowledge that you receive is going to be precious. But watch this. The opposite is also true. If you get in strife, if somebody says something and you feel strife or jealousy, Cain jealousy or Saul jealousy, you're going to forget a lot of things. You're going to lose too much. Now, some things we believe and we've accepted as truth is not appropriate. And the Holy Ghost will never give you a message based on that. And I want to give you some examples. If it's error, God can't use it and God won't use it. And He will never prompt you to say error. So if you set your heart to follow God and obey Him, you will refrain from continuing error in your ministry and in your ways. And see, if you believe something is not true and you preach it as truth, you know, like I had to clarify what I believe about Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, because that's something that seems right to me. But when I say that, I believe God helped me understand that, but I like playing it safe. I'm not a gambler, and I don't want to preach something as error. I believe I can prove those things to be true, but you got to run it by the Lord. I never heard anybody teach that before. But then when the Holy Spirit gives you something, it's pure, even if nobody ever taught it before, and it's true. Even if nobody in the world will believe it but you. Whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, it's a fact. And if you pay attention, the messages that He gives and the assignments that He gives, they are perfect. There's no flaw in it. There's no debris in it. It's just like the crystal sea. There's not a crumb in it. There's no error in it. So when you submit your life to Him, He will build a house that will stand. While other people are building a house that's falling. And now I said I'd give an example. When I first went to church, I went to the, not church, but to the Holiness Church or Pentecostal Church, same thing. I went because I met a Pentecostal woman named Mom Powell. I talk about her all the time, so I continue on. You could tell that she was full of the love of God. And she would talk about conversations that she had with the Lord. And it was always pure. It was nothing, no error in it. And I thought, I said, I've been missing out. Pentecostal people know things that us Methodists don't know. That was my first impression because of who I was talking to. Now, when I did go, I joined a Pentecostal church, a Holiness church. And there were people that had that kind of relationship. They had a relationship with the Lord, and the Lord would talk to them and tell them things. In fact, I was also in a band. We played R&B music, rhythm and blues. We played we played a lot of songs by Prince and other people of the day. And we also liked rock music, anything. Barry could play like him, just like Henry, just like Jimi Hendrix. He was right-handed, but he could turn his guitar left-handed. upside down and play it just like Jimi Hendrix and sound just like him. So we were in a band in those days. And so I got saved. And one of the guys that played the guitar, I took him home. He lived in Bradford. I lived over by the airport. That was a good 30, 40 minute drive. So after band practice every day, when he would come out, take him home. Or sometimes I'd take him home if he didn't have a way. If his brother had to leave early or whatever, I'd take him home. And this night I took him home. It was Friday night around 11 o'clock. And he came from a Christian home. And I said, "This guy at work telling me I need the Holy Ghost or I ain't saved." And I had put it before the Lord. I said, "Lord, if I need the Holy Ghost, I want the Holy Ghost." And Keith said, "Well, you do need the Holy Ghost." And I took that as my answer. So I said, "Well, I want the Holy Ghost." He said, "You can receive the Holy Ghost tonight." And I said, "Man, it's 11 o'clock. He said, "The squad will come together and pray right now." See, they were motivated people in Bradford. And that was at Keith and Ruff's house. And his mother came down and she explained the book of Acts, how that the Holy Spirit, they're very intelligent. She said, "The Holy Ghost is a free gift. You don't really have to tarry. But if somebody give you a gift, you say thank you." And she said, "Hallelujah is the highest praise." So praise God in faith. Worship God in faith that you have the Holy Ghost. And you will speak in tongues. He's going to give you utterance. So I did what she said. I expected to receive. And I started off hallelujah and I started speaking in tongues. But this is why I brought all this up. The Lord told them that I was coming. I got an odd name. My name is Thurston. And they were in prayer one day and my name came up. And I came at 11 o'clock one weekend evening, one Friday night, and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was on. So his aunt came and prayed. His sisters were, you know, they were there. And they were younger than me, laughing. But we all, they were serious. And I received the Holy Ghost that night. Now, this is what I want to share. After that, I had strength. Because now the Holy Spirit's on me. Just like on Mom Powell. And when I ask the Lord questions, I take whatever he say as preciously serious. It's precious and it's serious. And some people take it lightly. Some people take it all kind of ways, depending on how precious God is to them. And I wanted that kind of relationship. So I was kind of aggressive about learning about God. I would ask Elder Lewis every question I could think of. I would ask the Holy Spirit every question I could think of. Anybody that seemed to know God, I'd try to talk to him. And in my heart, I began to put together like a memory book. I said, when the Lord says something, this is truth to me. Now, I didn't just write it down what I believe, but I wrote it on the table of my heart. And I found myself remembering details that happened along the course of my life that were turning points to me. And I have some that I remember better than others. But when we follow God, we're handling holy things. The truth that God revealed to you will never stop being true. Now I can tell you the positive and the negatives. It will never stop being true. You know, the Lord will warn you. When I first got married, the Lord told me she'll never be settled with you. I didn't believe him. Well, wait a minute, preacher, you just said that the Lord would talk to you and you'd receive. Well, yeah, but when you're emotional and you think in your mind one way, if it depends on how strong the voice of your mind and your heart is. And the voice of your flesh has a voice, your mind has a voice, and your heart has a voice. But when God speaks, you got to make sure that the Lord's voice is the one you're going to go by. Now, I acted on what God said for a month. Then I discounted that and went with what I would do. And the whole marriage was just like the Lord said. So eventually it ended. And I couldn't, you know, when God says something, you're going to find out that it's true. I don't care what it is. So if you ask, you can learn. If you don't ask, you're going to find out. You're going to go through things you really don't have to go through. And I had warning, but I didn't. He gave me two other warnings, but I discounted that, all of it. So I learned not to do that. I learned to stick with what God gave me one time. If he give it to me one time, stick with it. But I learned also to ask for confirmations to fortify my strength in the Lord. Now, I learned to do that later. When I first started, I was unskilled. And I made a lot of unskilled choices. I sure did. I can tell you about many of them. So, I had good intentions. My good intentions were not evil. They weren't wrong. They were just wrong. They just weren't going to work. Now, God knows. He'll tell you. He knew how I thought. So he says she'll never be celibate, and that's how it was. Moving along, when the Lord tells you something, if you can embrace it as true, it's yours, and it will always be yours, and you can always benefit from that knowledge. So when you build a church, something as important as that, if God called you to do it, do it. Why not do exactly what he say? Not allowing the protocols of the world to be involved with it. Now, I said I was going to give an example of ministry when God will only handle the truth. He's the spirit of truth. He's not the spirit of lies. Here are some of the things that I never got prompted by the Holy Spirit to teach. Because when I went to the Holiness Church, they had some bylaws. They used scripture to prove it. Women can't wear pants. Deuteronomy 22:5. Okay. The Lord never dealt with me to tell women that they can't wear pants. Then they also couldn't wear makeup, jewelry, and they had to wear prayer cloth. The Holy Spirit never gave me a message, not one, on any of those things. But I heard preachers preach a whole message as if God gave them a message like that. And talk about people that wore pants. And the whole church applauded. And well, many people, some people knew better, and they didn't. But most people, amen. Christian people were amen anything. I've heard them amen all kind of stuff. Well, I give them the benefit of the doubt, almost anything. So, I've heard people amen some wild things. And things that you know that you don't need to be saying amen to that junk. Another thing. This church was under Bishop Bonner. He didn't believe in women preachers. And he had our Refuge Temple in Detroit and Solomon's Temple in New York. But he was otherwise a wonderful man of God. And his wife, Elder Lewis told me that his wife was called to the ministry. But she revered her husband and didn't preach. But I saw this with my own eyes. And I was, you know, when you're young and you're unskilled, you believe what you're told. And I used to argue how women can't preach. Okay. I did it. I told a lady pastor she was wrong for preaching. She couldn't pray. I just made a mess of things. And I ran into a lady that was sincere. A lot like Mom Powell in her ways, just kind, gentle, soft-spoken woman. And she said, I used to go to Refuge Temple. I said, really? She said, yeah, but I had to leave. I said, why'd you leave? Well, the Lord called me to the ministry, and they don't believe in women preachers. I had to go somewhere else, but I really love the church. I said, wait a minute, this lady, she's sincere. So that put, I said, you know, I better watch what I say. You know, I looked at it a little, you know, and if you pay attention to the Holy Spirit within, things that's right sit is, you know, he acknowledges, hey, this is me. But if you override it, if your voice is too strong and your will is in high gear, you know, the fear of the Lord won't work on you. I started paying attention more to, I started monitoring, what is the Holy Spirit trying to help me see here? That has helped me so many ways. And it helped me prevent a lot of heavy mistakes that I definitely would have made. And also, I had to grow and learn. I made mistakes just like everybody does. And a lot of them too. I can probably tell you about as many mistakes as triumphs. But one thing about it, he kept me out of sin. There's a lot of things that he helped me not do. And I thought I was going to fall. I'm being honest with you. But he helped me. And so the Holy Spirit does his job. Sometimes he told me things to cut me off at the pass. He gave me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Or just don't say anything. And I still wanted to say something, but no, don't talk. And then come to find out, oh man, I would have made a terrible disaster if I had opened my mouth. And sometimes you can say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it'll never be the relationship it could have been. So it's good to monitor the Holy Spirit. And I never heard the Holy Spirit teach people these dogmas that people have. And then I never had a message of doubt. Sometimes people, when things are not moving along, they tell you why God didn't heal somebody or why God don't heal sometimes. God heals when there's faith. God heals. If there's a reason, let God tell you that reason. But I've heard messages about why God don't always heal. Now, God is not a liar. His word says we're healed. We got to come up to the word and stop trying to bring the word down to us. And the Lord told me this. He said a lot of time in denominational churches, they bring the word down to fit their life. While Pentecostals, they bring the word up to their spiritual experience. They put in their spiritual experience first. And then the Word of Faith Church try to get, they're trying to attain the American dream. That's in those days, and they were doing that. They were taking the message of faith, but to use it for the American dream. That's what they put on the highest shelf. You heard more messages about attaining stuff. And that offended the people that were just trying to stay in the love of God. So you had, you know, if you don't build with Christ, you when the Lord told me this, he said, the faith movement is trying to attain the American dream. He said, I wish they'll do my dream. Now, that was I'm not trying to throw things in the face of those who were seeking God. There were many people that sought the love of God. They sought to do it God's way. But there were so many people come out of poverty. And that was the first thing when they found out they could believe God, they gravitated to things that was important to them. Just like I did when I didn't listen to the Lord. And you have to train yourself. Listen, keep the Holy Spirit first. Get understanding. Solomon wrote, in all you're getting, get understanding. When the Lord told Gideon that he was a mighty man of valor, he took precautions to make sure that he was on the right track, to build up his most holy faith. But he couldn't pray in the Holy Ghost, so he asked the Lord he put out a fleece. And he was considering everything God said. If you feel afraid, go down and listen to the Midianites. And one Midianite had a dream of a piece of barley bread came and knocked over the tent. And his brother, his fellow said, oh, that's just Gideon, son, Jerubbabel. He's gonna defeat the Midian. That's basically what he was saying. He's gonna defeat the Midianites. So, see, there are people that God will raise up to be prophet in every nation. And sometimes people have that gift. So that edified Gideon, and he went back on fire for the Lord. So you have to fan the flames of the revelation that God has given you and attempting to give you. And if you don't, you'll discount it like I did. You have to listen to the Lord. People do things in the course of their lives. This is why it's so important to love people like Jesus loved you and forgive people when they need you to. When Joseph's brothers wanted him dead, two of his brothers worked to save his life. All of his brothers regretted what they had done. They came to a point of regret, and then they began to, when they came to Egypt, they were very sorry for what they had done. Now, the reason I say these things is because when you receive what the Holy Spirit is saying, and you meet it with faith, if you meet it with faith, you're going to see the wisdom in it. You'll see it much faster than if your heart's too stout in one direction and the Holy Spirit's alerting you. He's trying to protect us. Not just you, but everybody you're going to deal with.